You are about to listen to an episode of The Cypher before it was The Cypher. For our first 75 episodes, we were known as Outside the Lines with Rap Genius, and we had a slightly different format. In all honesty, our production value and sound quality today is much improved from these early episodes. That said, the content is so great that these shows are a valuable part of our archive. If you want more information about our transition, make sure to check out episode 76 with Ritz, which was our first one under the new name. To keep up to date on everything involving The Cypher, visit us online at thecyphershow.com or find us on iTunes. And now, without further ado, here's The Cypher before The Cypher.
Rap Genius.
Oh, I want to sit next to Michael Jackson tomorrow night at the AMA. So they're like, all right, let me, we'll call you right back.
Welcome to Outside the Lines with Same Old Sean. This is part two of our very special Best Of episode. This show will mark the end of version one of the podcast. We'll be back in the fall with version two with exciting new changes. To keep abreast of the details, make sure to follow us on Twitter at @OTL_podcast and check out our website at OutsideTheLinesPodcast.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Same Old Sean. We begin this episode with an excerpt from Umar Bin Hasan of The Last Poets. He talks about narrowly escaping his hometown of Akron, Ohio in 1968 after being a ringleader in some riots over there that got him some unwanted attention from the police.
They had him go off for about 5 days. We made a nuisance to him, but you know, they had the manpower and they had everything. So it was over in about 5 days, but I had to get out of town because the Akron Police Department, after it was over, sent a letter of recruitment to my house. And everybody knew that I was one of the main instigators of the so-called fomented moment. You know, and everybody knew back in 1968, you know, in 68 at that time, in Akron, Ohio, they couldn't set you up. They couldn't set you up. So my mother said, you know what time it is? I said, yeah, I got to get out of here. I knew it, but I lost my job. Well, I got fired from my job because they saw a picture of me in Akron Beacon Journal.
I say Bill told me about that there was a picture of you on the paper getting arrested during riots.
They had the National Guard, but they can't find it. I'm quite sure. I think Akron destroyed that picture. I mean, probably they know that I'm on it now. They probably do, because Akron now is trying to pretend that they didn't want to pretend that it ever happened. But anyway, my mother saw the picture, Sean. And she said, damn, all the niggas, they had to take a picture of, they had to catch you on the front page coming with the gun to your back. And so, man, everybody knew that, like I said, you know, and probably other people would say, yeah, Hank Ewing, because there was a lot of snitching going on. I always was a lot of snitching going on. But it was Hank Ewing. He was one of the main, he was. So when they sent that letter, my mother even know. She said, you know what this means? I said, yeah, I got to get out of here.
So this was a draft letter they sent you?
To recruit me to be on the Akron Police Department.
Oh, to be on the police department.
Yeah, because this is, everybody knew that's what we was up about, the Akron Police Department, to get some more. Because at that time, there were probably about five. Those two on the comic strip, I think that was Archie Bullock and Joe Thomas, who they embarrassed that day. Then they had Jim Craig. Okay, I'll say Archie Bullock, Joe Thomas, Jim Craig, Goodrich, and I forgot the other one.
So what was the threat implied in sending you the recruitment letter?
Well, you know, the thing was, like, they would probably get me down there and set me up in some way and kill me.
Oh, wow, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, well, wow. My mother did, and I did.
Obviously.
You know, and I did, so I'm sure it's time to go. Now, I lost my job. I gave up all my clothes. My brother told me, my young brother always tell me, yeah, during that time you gave up your beaver skins and your gators, your lizards, and your herringbone suits. And I was just giving up all my stuff, because I had changed now. I got on my khaki, you know, outfit and the boots. So I had no money, nothing. So I said, I'm going to get out of here. So what happened was, my sister had a record player, you know, those old 7833 that you stack a pile of records on?
Yeah.
And it plays one at a time, 45s. So I pawned that. She didn't realize, she didn't know it at the time. I pawned it, and I got $25. And at that time, a ticket from Akron, Ohio to New York was just $15, man. This is what, 4 years ago, it was just $15. So I paid the $15 for the tickets just one way. And the other 10 I spent along the way at the post stops, you know, the ground stops, and you can buy food. So when I landed, Sean, at Akron, Ohio, in New York City, in February 1969, I had a book of poetry in a bag with a pair of jeans and 22 cents in my pocket. That's all I had.
I really love listening to that. That whole talk with Umar is phenomenal, and you really need to find that in the archives, as well as my chat with his Last Poets groupmate, Abi Odun Oyewole. Both really, really epic conversations. This next clip takes me back to one of my most treasured memories of doing the show, which is getting to meet the original God MC, Rakim. We talked in the basement of the SOB's nightclub in New York right after he'd finished a performance. In this clip, I talked to him about his relationship with the Nation of Gods and Earths, the Nation of Islam offshoot that has been outsizedly influential in hip-hop.
I got knowledge of self back in 85, end of 85. And it was ironic, I met Eric B. around the same time. And around my hood, I was learning how to change over to more conscious rhymes because, you know, at that time, you know, I was a little younger, a little more crazy, so the rhymes was a little more violent. So at that time, I was learning how to, you know, convert, you know, my rhyme style over, and I met Eric B. So it was like, you know, I felt it was like, you know, like almost like a, you know, like a calling. You know, he came up at the right time. I was presented knowledge of self at the right time, you know what I mean? So I felt all that came together for a reason, and I never, you know, put it down because I felt that the knowledge was brought to me because Eric B. was on his way. So, you know, it's one of the things that I cherish.
Anyone who remembers the 80s has a certain iconic image burned into their memory. A DJ on stage with Herbie Hancock and his Rocket Band doing crazy things with records. That man, then known as Grandmaster DST, now Grand Mixer DXT, talked to us a few months ago, and I needed to ask him about the thing everyone remembers, his unique, to say the least, wireless headphones.
I was in London, and I brought myself a pair of these just radio headphones, just to listen to the radio. They were just headphones for the radio. And I'm just listening to radio stations in London, trying to find music and stuff. You know, I was collecting records while I was traveling. So I just had them, you know. And then we were in Japan, and I went in the store, and I saw this thing that said FM transmitter. And it went ding, there it is. So I bought the whole box. I bought everything they had in the store. Boxes and boxes and boxes of these things. And they were like $50 a pop, you know, and I just bought them all. And I said, I had my roadie with me, and I said, I need that. I need all of them. All of them. They had like 20 of them. I said, buy them all. So because I know I'm going to break them, I'm going to lose them. But he showed me what it can do. He said, watch. And he had my headphones, and he plugged it into a stereo. And he dialed it in on my headset. That was it. I said, I can listen to my mixer without plugging into anything. And so that became that whole thing with the antenna that everyone, every school I go to, every university, every lecture I give, that's what they all ask, man. Like, what was that about, man? That was incredible. Like, that was a regular, cheap, $25 radio headset, I swear to you. And that's why they fell apart. They would just fall apart. So I just, and I would have 10 at a time in the road case. And then I got so accustomed to that particular brand, I didn't think to buy any other one. So it was these Iowa. And you know, the felt on the headphones, I had a Jerry curl at the time. Please forgive me for that. It would eat up the material. It would just melt it after a while. It would just fizz it away, you know. I'm still going to therapy over that Jerry curl. So that and spending $3,000 on a 300 megabyte hard drive. That and a Jerry curl put me in therapy. But so that's where, how that happened.
One of the real unique things about this show has been getting to talk to artists in depth about their lyrics. Sometimes they surprise even us with the amount they have to say. Here's an awesome rant from the legendary KRS-One when we asked him to explain just two lines from his song Reality. Everyone and everything is at war, making my poetic expression hardcore. Check it out.
Well, consider all of those people that you say are fighting for more and grabbing and ambitious and so on. Consider them the sea, like water. And consider me a boat. I sit on top of the confusion and I'm rocked by the confusion, by the greed. I'm not in it. I'm rocked by it. I'm a well-built boat. I'm built for the tropical storm to come. I will never sink. I'm on top like this, getting moved around. Now, sometimes I have to adjust my oars. Sometimes I have to adjust my navigation. But I'm made for the sea. I'm made to sail on top of the ignorance that people come up with. And not even ignorance, the immaturity, the blindness, the not being able to see the truth. And I say that humbly because in a lot of ways, I think that those who can see the truth were chosen to. When you really look at the nature of nature, the character of nature, I could see how the ancients regarded nature in human characteristics, or even animals. So even going further back, nature acted like certain animals that they saw. But later on, we get nature in human personification, and I could see that. I talk to the universe and it talks back to me as well. I know that's hard for some people to understand, but there's a certain way there's a certain awareness you achieve in life where you can see behind everything. You kind of know what's causing everything and it's playful. It plays with you. It's like nature is very joyous and having fun all the time. Like it doesn't care about death. It doesn't care about life. It doesn't care about how little or big or whatever. Its character is like, let's go. Well, come on. Well, let's do it. Well, let's try. That's like the character of nature. And when you can see that, you submit to nature. There's a submission where you go, wow. So there is an intelligence to all of this.
And I saved the best for last. This is an incredible story from MC Search of Third Base fame. Those of us who remember when Third Base was poppin' know that there was no love lost between them and MC Hammer. I didn't realize quite how deep the beef got, though, until Search told this story about the time MC Hammer put a hit out on him with LA's Rollin' 60 Crips gang.
He actually put a hit out on you guys, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, he put a hit out on us with Mike Conception and the Rollin' 60 Crips in LA. Yeah. Yeah, $50,000 bounty.
How did you find out about that?
We were flying to LA on our way to our album release party. And Louis Burrell, one of the Burrell brothers, like, called Def Jam's office, talked to a woman named Carmen Ashurst Watson, and was like, are the third base guys going to L.A.? And they were like, yeah, they're on the way to their party. And he said, good, they're dead, and kind of hung up the phone. And no one kind of understood what that meant. So Russell gets put in the mix with it. And basically has to find out what's going on. So they call Eric B. And Eric B says, let me make some calls. And sure enough, Eric B finds out through his connection. It's like, yeah, there's a hit out on us. So we're in the air. Like, we're on our way to L.A. And so they got to piecemeal all this together. So Lior had a guy that used to do security for Run DMC, worked at Rush. His name is Big D's from L.A. They put him on a plane. Like, they sent him to JFK to get on the plane immediately. And by hook or by crook, they find out that the guy who's in charge of the hit is this guy named Mike Conception. God bless the dead. And Mike was already paralyzed from the waist down due to gang violence. But he was that dude. And they get Mike on the phone. And they said, you know, listen, Mike, we're from Def Jam. We hear that there's a hit out on third base. And he's like, yeah, you know, I got to, you know, yeah, my man paid me. It's on the popping. They're like, well, can't happen. Got to avoid that from happening. How do we avoid that from happening? And Mike said, well, because you called, we won't kill them, but we'll break their legs from the waist down so that they can still do television. And again, it was like, well, we need them unscathed. How do we make this happen where they're unscathed? You know, we can't have anything violent happen. So that night, the next night was the American Music Awards. So Mike said, well, I'm working on this project called We're All in the Same Gang, where I'm trying to, you know, this anti-violence thing for, you know, for Capital. I'm having a hard time, you know, getting distribution. Maybe you can help me find a label for it. You know, Eazy's on the project. Ham Hammer's on the project. All these people are on the project. He's like, maybe you can help me. And, oh, I want to sit next to Michael Jackson tomorrow night at the AMAs. So they're like, all right, we'll call you right back. So they called Donny Einer, who at the time was the chairman of Columbia, who was distributing our record. And they said to Donny, we need your tickets for the AMAs. And he was like, no. And he's like, no, you don't understand. We need your tickets. We need this guy to sit next to Michael Jackson. Explains it to Donny. Donny says, fine. So they call Mike Conception, said, no problem, you got it. You'll sit next to Michael Jackson at the AMAs. But we got to make sure that nothing bad happens to these guys, nothing at all. So we're in a plane, we're about to land. D's in a plane behind us, Big D. And now they're putting security together and getting this whole thing. So they find this dude who does security in L.A. named Uncle Mel Swint, who did security for pretty much everybody. So Uncle Mel puts a team together of four guys. And they're going to meet us at the airport. And again, this is one of those things where you could actually meet people at the gate or you didn't have to rent. Okay. So we're on the plane, but we're also on the plane. I'm with Chantel, Pete's with his girl Roxanne, Richie's with his girl Monet. Like, this is a family trip, like, to L.A. And so we're coming into land, and we come in, and we're walking out the gate, and Uncle Mel meets us there and throws like a black tarp over our heads and is like, move, 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 get out the way. We got to get him to the car, got to get him to the car. You know, I'm like, wait, I got my luggage. We'll get your luggage. Move, 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 get him to the car, get him to the car. And we get into this like big van. Keep your heads down at all times. Keep your heads down. And get our luggage. And I look over to Pete and I go, oh my God, we're bigger than the Beatles.
You thought it was a fan thing.
I thought it was, yeah, I thought we were huge. Like, we were giving away a Jeep on the radio. I thought we were the biggest group ever. Like, I'm like, this is amazing. So I'm like, oh my God, this is incredible. Like, this is, and like, guys were coming up honking a horn next to us. Heads down, heads down. Okay. My wife, we're all like, we get to the Hollywood Hyatt on Sunset. We got a whole floor to ourselves with security. I'm like, oh my God, this is incredible. You know, da, 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 da. And they walk in and then they tell us the story. And I go, come on, man, this is bullshit. Come on. And all of a sudden this dude comes in with these Jerry curls. His name is Pookie. And they're like, this is Mike's lieutenant. He's going to be with you the whole weekend. He's not going to leave your side. I'm like, really, Pookie? You're not going to leave my side? Okay. I want to go to the mall. I want to take my wife shopping. Let's go to the mall. They're like, you don't understand. There's 60,000 members of the Crips that want to kill you. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I want to go to the mall. I want to go shopping. So Pookie's like, no. Let's take him shopping. So they're like, okay. So I have security with me, and Pookie's with me, and Chantel's with me. So we go to the Beverly Center. So if you don't know the Beverly Center, it's like this giant center area, and it's all these, you know, balconies, and there's one big congregating area. So I'm in the mall, and in the Foot Locker's right over there. And Pookie goes, "Yeah, why don't you go down the escalator? You know, it looks like there's some people that might know who you are over there." So I'm like, "Hell yeah, I'm gonna go down the motherfucking escalator. Hell yeah!" So I go down the escalator, and I'm like, "Chantel, come." He's like, "No. She's gonna chill with me for a second. She's gonna chill over here." I go down. Dudes recognize me. Oh my God, third base searches. I'm signing autographs. I look up, these dudes start coming over, I'm signing autographs, taking pictures. All of a sudden, I look up again, these dudes start putting bandanas over their face. And then I hear this whistle, and he starts throwing up these signs. And the dudes pull down the mask and like, yo, I'm a big fan, man. I just want to say what's up. And I'm like, I'm shook. I'm like, yo, get me the fuck out of here. Like, get me the fuck out of here. And I didn't leave Pookie. So I didn't go out. I didn't go anywhere.
That's a great story that gives whole new meaning to the phrase, please hammer, don't hurt him. Thanks for listening to this special two-part best of Outside the Lines. We'll be back in just a few weeks with a whole revamped version of the show. Make sure to check our Twitter at @OTL_podcast. And our website at OutsideTheLinesPodcast.com for more details. And if you haven't yet, make sure to go to iTunes to subscribe so you never miss an episode. While you're there, rate us. The more 5-star reviews we get, the better chance we have of continuing to get amazing guests like the ones you've heard in this special best of. Outside the Lens is created and written by Sean Sotero, a.k.a. Same Old Sean.
That and a Jerry curl put me in therapy.
The show is produced and engineered by Josh Cross at Crosstown Studios.
You know, he came up at the right time. I was presented knowledge of self at the right time.
Our invaluable assistant is Julia Hannafin.
Putting bandanas over their face. And then I hear this whistle, and he starts throwing up these signs.
Our music is by Psionic.
But I'm made for the sea.
Special thanks to everyone who helped make this version one of the podcast an incredible ride, and I can't wait to keep it going with the revamped version 2. We'll see you then, Outside the Lines. It's just a set. It's just like a set of the Crips, Rollin' 60 Crips, which are kind of the biggest, maybe the biggest sort of individual set. You know, it's interesting because the guy, Mike Conception, who Search talks about in that story, has very close ties with TDE, which is like Kendrick Lamar and Absol and all them. He has very close ties with them. So like the real, like on the low hookups between like gang culture and hip hop are very real and, you know, don't have that much to do with whatever individual rappers claim their gang affiliations are.
Right.
You know, it's a lot more intertwined and a lot deeper and more interesting.